Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Ayin and Beis, about 7 lines before the end of the page at the two dots. We are about to review the issue of a person who wants to give something to somebody else, but they have a neder, hana'ah, that the person is not allowed to get hana'ah from them. So there's a Mishnah, Masech Sedarim. We referenced this at the end of the shir yesterday, but there's a Mishnah, Masech Sedarim, that goes through in some detail all the different cases of a neder hana'ah, where you want to still give something to somebody else. Then the Gemara is going to mention a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about the idea in the Mishnah that if there are certain nedarim that they're not allowed to get hana'ah from each other, that there's a difference between Yisrael and a Kohenes, about how long they're supposed to stay married regularly before we force them to divorce each other. So the Rav and Shmuel are going to argue about the circumstances of such nedarim. Were the nedarim explicitly for 30 days, or were the nedarim just generally nedarim that didn't give any time limit to it? And we're also going to discuss on Amud Aleph, who is to blame if a woman takes a neder and the husband is then mekayim the neder? Do we assume he nasna etzba ben shineha, she's the one that caused herself the problem because she's the one that took the neder, or who nasan etzba ben shineha, he's the one that's to blame for it because he's the one that was mekayim the neder? On Amud Beis, we're going to have a machlokas whether a husband can be mefer nedarim on dvarim shebeino leveina when it comes to private matters because it affects him, or maybe not because nobody gets hurt from his own wife. So even if it's about private matters, we assume that that nothing's going to happen to him as a result of it. And then right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about how long is considered forever. We said that when it comes to taking a neder against kishut, against various types of kishutim, various types of perfumes and things of that nature, that if it's a poor woman, then only if it's forever do we assume that she's not going to be able to live like that. But how long is forever? What if you say 100 years? What if you say 1,000 years? That's not forever. So how long would we consider it to be forever? And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to go through a number of different nedarim where the husband is ultimately going to have to divorce the wife because he's making her life unlivable. And the Gemara specifically on this stuff is going to discuss where he takes a neder that she's not allowed to go back to her parents' home. So what the status is if she if that neder has lasted for more than a single regel, for two regalim, because Yom Tovim times are the times that people generally do go back to visit the in-laws, to the parents' homes, so that's, or at least the girl would want to go back to the parents' home, so that's the discussion at the end of the daf. So let's begin about 7 lines before the end of the page, 8 lines before the end of the page. Gufa, hamudar ana mechaver, if a person has a nedra ana from his friend, ve'in lo mayochel, but nebuch, the guy doesn't have what to eat, so you want to be able to provide him with something. The only problem is, he has a nedra, he's not allowed to get enough from you. So you go to a storekeeper who you are familiar with, who you frequent his store all the time. This fellow has a neder ana, he's not allowed to get any ana from me. But I don't know what I could do for him. I want to do something for him because he's starving. Who knows in love? So the storekeeper can provide him with whatever he needs, and then you could pay back the storekeeper afterwards, because he never made an explicit deal with the storekeeper that that's what you're going to do, so therefore it's permissible. If the guy needs some work done, he has a house that needs to get built, a fence that needs to be put up, a field that needs to be harvested, so again, you could go to workers that you're familiar with. This guy has a neder ana from me, but I don't know what to do for him because he needs this work done. So they could go do the work and get paid from the person who has the neder. Let's say the two of them were traveling on the road and the guy didn't have any food. So nosin la'acher l'shum matana v'alanot al'ochel umuter, that you could give it to a third party as a matana, and then that third party can give it to the person who's mudarana, and that's totally fine. v'im ein sham acher, what if there is no third party, it's just the two of them traveling and they're all alone, maniach al gabe asela, so then you would put it on a rock or al gabe a geder or on a fence, va'omer, and you say, you declare, harehim uvkarim l'kol mi sheyachbots, that this is hafker for anyone who wants to come and take it. Now there's no one else around, it's just you and the other guy, so anyone who wants to come and take it, so v'ahala notel, he'll come and take it, va'ochlen will eat it, umotr, and that's totally permissible. V'rabbi Yossi Oser, and Rabbi Yossi says that that is not permissible, that that is Oser. So the already on the this idea that he could be mafker when there's nobody there, the Shachin Yaradeya raises the question that generally speaking, in order to make something hefker, you need to be mafker b'fnei shlosha, you need to be mafker in front of three people. It doesn't work just to declare something hefker if nobody's around. Over here there is nobody around. We said the whole case is that it's just the two of them. So the Shach says, by Ein Lo Mayochel, where there's no other Eitzah, so we follow the Din Torah. The Din of Hefker B'fnei Shlosha is the Din Midrabanan. But we're going to be Mamidol Din Torah when there's no other option. And Nebuch, the guy's starving over here, you're traveling, you have nowhere else to go. That's one answer the Shach gives. He also says that even Midrabanan, it's Hefker Shalom B'fnei Shlosha, it's just that the Mafker can always be Chozerbo. But Kozman, that he's not Chozer, the Hefker is Chal. The Din of Hefker B'fnei Shlosha is if there's going to be some sense of finality to that Hefker, that he can never change his mind from that Hefker. He can always be Kona it again, reacquire it, but he can't undo what he had previously done. If it was B'fnei Shlosha because man that he's not Chozer Bo, then the Hefker is still going to be Chal, even on a Darabana level, if it's not B'fnei Shlosha. In the Hagos of Rabbi Shaya Pick in the back of the Gemara, he has an interesting Ha'ar over here. We introduced this mission in the Darim with the word Gufa. If you look on the side of the page, it says that this is a Mishnah from Nedarim Daf Mem Gimel in the Mishnah. So he points out that that Rashi writes in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Yudal Amud Aleph that Lo Amrinan Gufa Rak Al Mishnayos Taharos Mishum She'in Mehem Shum Gemara Ba'Olam Ve'Enu Mufrashos Kshar Mishnayos. Meaning, whenever you quote a Gufa and you don't expound on it, you just quote what the Tanaim say, and that's it, and that's the whole Gufa. We're just expanding. Meaning, we quoted. Normally, what a Gufa does is we just quoted something. So now we're going to go back to that discussion, that thing we just quoted, and we're going to say something else about it. We're going to add some Amoraic discussion about it. But Rashi writes, sometimes we'll have a gufa where we don't add anything from the Amoraim. We just expand upon what the Mishnah actually says. So we quoted it, we mentioned yesterday, the idea of a Nedra Nan going to a Chenveni. So now we give all the cases, with traveling on the road and putting it on a rock. And but these are all in the Mishnah. These are all just the Mishnah. Yet Rashi says we only do it with a Mishnah if it's a Mishnah in Taros, because Taros has no Gemara. So since there's no Gemara in Taros, by we'll say a Gufa, even just for a Mishnah Maseches Taros. Over here, we find a Gufa in a Mishnah Maseches Nedarim. So in the Masifta over here, he quotes from the Eshel Avram, as a Metare, it's based on a comment of Rav Natrunoigon, that apparently it wasn't that common for them to learn Maseches Nedarim and Maseches Nazir in the yeshivos. It's unclear why, but it does seem that way, just based on the amount of Rishonim and the lack of Rashi. For whatever reason, it seems that that's a minhag that has made it through the ages, that Nedarim and Nazir weren't widely learned in yeshivas. So it could be that the whole idea of going to a Gufa and then just quoting a Mishnah is something that wasn't widely learned, because there was no Gemara, like in Taros, there was no Gemara on it, or there is Gemara, like Nedarim and Nazir, but it just wasn't something that was widely learned. So a Gufa will be to teach a Mishnah. What do you mean? Everyone knows a Mishnah. No, not everyone knows all the Mishnayos. Some of these Mishnayos are Mesechtas that weren't very widely learned. So that's an interesting idea. Rashi never made a Madura Basra. He says that Rav Ashi never made a Madura Basra on Nedarim. That's why the Lashonos and Mesechus Nedarim are so different than the Lashonos of the rest of Shas. We got the first draft of Maseches Nedarim, we got the final draft of all the other Masechtas. Now it's very common, I think, to learn Nedarim in yeshivas. I think Valajan changed a lot. In Valajan, they started with Brachos and went straight through Nida. That was their Seder. They just went straight through Shas. Then when they got to Kachim, some people complained, so they would have a separate shiur in Brachos also. But generally speaking, they went straight through Shas in Valajan. But okay, that seems to have been the minhag. So anyway, we said over here that Rabbi Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi said that it's usher to do this trick. So Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Yossi, what's the problem? Why can't you just put the make these deals with the chenveni and put the thing on the rock and let the guy get hanaf from it. Gezeira mishum maisa de beis choron. It's a gezeira that we're afraid that it's going to be, what's going to happen is similar to the story that happened in Beis Choron. What's the story of Beis Choron? So Rashi tells us, b'nedarim perek hashutfin. So you have to know, the Gemara in Nedarim, daf mem ches, tells the story of a guy whose father was mudra anah mimenu. Father wasn't allowed to get any anah from him. And when he was marrying his son off, he wanted that his father should be able to come to the wedding. So the son said to a friend of his, meaning the guy who was marrying his son off, whose father was mudra anah, the middle generation, says to a friend of his, my chatra and the whole su'uda belong to you, they're a matana to you, so that when my father comes to the su'uda, he'll be able to get anah from it, because it's yours, it's not mine. My father's only not allowed to get anah from my things. So the friend said, okay, if you want to give it to me, then I decide that I'm being makdashit l'shamayim, then I'm making everything hagdish. Meaning, so he said, what do you mean? I gave it to you just so that my father can get anah from it. Not that you can make it hegdish, not that it really belongs to you. So he said, what do you mean? He said, manavshach, it's either mine or it's not mine. If you gave it to me, then I'm makdish l'shamayim. If you don't give it to me, then your father can't come. So because of that maisa, Rava holds that we have to make a gzera not to be machil chaveru, who's mudra anah mimenu al yidei hefker, because maybe he's going to be mefarish dvarav, he's going to try to explain that he's not really being mafkerit l'kola olam, that he doesn't really intend to be mafkerit. Someone else is going to come in out of nowhere and take the thing off the rock. No, I didn't mean for it to be hefker to you. I only meant for it to be hefker to that other guy. So we see that people aren't so sincere about these things sometimes when they have a very clear motive in the way that they're making it hefker. So that's why, based on that ma'aseh de beis choron, we see that people's motives aren't always exactly as when we see that people don't really mean it exactly as they say it. They really mean it just based on fulfilling what their motivation is, and therefore that's why Rabbi Yossi has a problem with it over here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer bi Yisrael Chodesh Echad. So we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that if a person takes a neder that his wife is not allowed to get hanav from him, while the Tanakhama said that for 30 days you set up a third party to support her, and then after that Yotzi V'itin Ksuba, Rabbi Yehuda says it really depends. If it's a Yisrael, then Chodesh Echad Yikayim. For 1 month you stay married, and by the second month already you divorce her and give the Ksuba. But if it's a Kohen, stay married for 2 months, and then by the third month, Yotzi V'itin Ksuba. Frak the Gemara, Hainu Tanakama. According by a regular case of Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama are saying the same thing. They're both saying 1 month. It's just that the Tanakama said Shloshim Yom Yamid Parnes, and Rabbi Yehuda had a different lashon. He said Chodesh Echad Yikayim. That for 1 month you stay together. So what's the difference? Amar Abaye Kohenes Asalash Minan. There is no difference in terms of how we deal with a Yisrael who takes a neder anah against his wife. The whole difference is whether a Kohenes has different rules. If the man is a Kohen, does it have different rules? According to the Tanakhama, it would be the same. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, by a Kohen, since there's more finality to a divorce of a Kohen, because he can never be machzir grushaso, so by a Kohen, he's going to have to, we give him a little extra time. Rava Amar Chodesh Male V'Chodesh Chasar Ikabinayu. Rava says, no, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama is whether 29 days counts or it's only 30 days. That Tanakhama said, Tanakhama said, Shloshim Yom, Yir Yamid Parnis. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chodesh Echad. And a Chodesh means just 29 days. So apparently Abaye didn't hold that way. Abaye held that a Chodesh means 30 days. Shloshim Yom and Chodesh mean the same thing. So what do we generally assume? If a person says Chodesh, do we generally assume that that means a Chodesh Malay, or do we generally assume that means a Chodesh Chaser? So Tosfos comes up with a rule over here. Rabbi Yehuda in Tanakhama, Ba'cholot Pirush Ri, the Chodesh Tekra Shloshim Yom. Kidashin Asim Yerach Shloshim Yamim, Yerach Shloshim Yamim Shloshim. Ubnazir Nami Yamrinan, Ve'ima Shloshim Yom, Kedichsiv Ad Chodesh Yamim. Whenever the Torah uses the word Chodesh, it always means 30 days. And he says, we have riots from a couple of Gemaras that have drushas that on the word Chodesh, we assume it automatically means 30 days. Aval b'drabanan, whenever it's the Rabbanan talking, lo havi el chaser. So a Chodesh always means 29 days. Where do we find that? Kedamrin parakei na'arach, parakam d'roshana, r'mashum umliel omer, ratzu Chodesh, Ratzu Shloshim. There are two options. There's Chodesh and there's Shloshim. So you see, Chodesh is not Shloshim Yom. Chodesh is only 29 days. The kasha, however, Tosfos says the problem is tahacha parach hainu tanakama. The Gemara's kasha over here that the Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama are saying the same thing assumes that even though it's a rabbanon over here, it's not the Torah talking. It's a person taking a neder anah, lashna mishnah of a neder of a chodesh. The questioner still assumes that that means 30 days, and it's not just the havamina vabayinami damer kohenes asal hashminun isle the chodesh. And Abaye apparently holds that even the Maskana. It was only Rava who was Michalik between the term Chodesh and the term Shloshim Yom. But apparently Abaye holds that the word Chodesh over here means Shloshim Yom, even though we're dealing with a Lishna de Rabbanan over here, not a Lishna de Kra. Over here, since we want to say by Kohenes Shnayim Yikayim, so it's easier to say Chodesh rather than to spell out 29 days, and then have to deal with 58 days and deal with multiples. Whenever you're dealing with more than one, it's much easier to use the word chodesh than to spell out the number of days. V'gimel chadashim da'avchana v'tes chadashim du'muberes da'avu chadashim de'shloshim yom mishum de'toreach u'lefareish v'lomer tzadi yom. And sometimes the rabbanim, when they say chodesh, they really mean 30 days, but they still use the word chodesh, which normally means 29 days, just because it gets very tedious to start when you're dealing with multiples. Like when you talk about havchana, how a woman's not allowed to get remarried after her husband dies or after she gets divorced for 3 months. So instead of saying 90 days, it's just easier to say 3 months, or pregnancy being 9 months. Instead of saying 270 days, we just say 9 months. Even though normally when the Rabbanan use the word month, they really mean 29 days. Over there, they mean 30 days. Va'od yish lomar orto says that filu b'lishon t'rabbanan avichod eshloshim heichad lo muchach aval heichad lo muchach shayni, that sometimes even in the lishon t'rabbanan chodesh means 30 days, but when we know that it doesn't. Like for example, when you have in the lishon t'rabbanan, you have a lashon of a mishnah where it says either 29 days or a chodesh, so then, or either 30 days or a chodesh, then you know chodesh means 29 days. But it's not always that way. It's only if it's muchach that way. You have to look at each circumstance. So it's not, meaning what Tos is suggesting at the end, is that it's not an ironclad rule that every time we use a lishna drabanan, that chodesh necessarily means 29 days. Okay, vaitu in the Gemara, fourth line from the top. Amar Rav, lo shanu ela b'mefaresh. This whole discussion is only if the person was explicit in his neder that the neder should last for 1 month. Aval b'stam, yotzi li al tavit in ksuba. But if he just takes a neder without putting any time limit on the neder, so then right away divorce it, because what's the point of waiting? The neder is not going anywhere, the neder is forever. Shmuel says, no, even if the neder was stam, you don't divorce right away, because you never know. He may find a way out of the neder, he may find the Pesach. Didn't Rav and Shmuel already argue about this exact same point in the context of a neder about Tashmish Hamita? Ditznan, Amadir Sisho Mitashmish Hamita. We had learned in previous Mishnah that if a person takes a neder about Tashmish Hamita, that his wife can't have Tashmish with him. Beishami or Mishtei Shabbos. So Beisil or Mishabbos Achas. Beishami says they stay married for 2 weeks. Beisil says 1 week. Va'omar Rav, and on that Machlokas, Rav again said Machlokas b'mefarish, that the whole Machlokas is only if he said explicitly an amount of time. Aval b'stam yotzi li'alter v'yitin ksuba. But if he never put an amount of time to it, he just said a neder stam, so then everyone would agree you divorce right away and give the ksuba. The neder's not going anywhere. Ushmuel amar afilu b'stam nami lo yotzi shamiyim to pesach l'nidro. And Shmuel also said over there that even if it was stam and he didn't put a time limit to it, you divorce right away. You don't divorce right away. You give it some time because maybe you'll find a pesach for the neder. So why do Rav and Shmuel have to have that same machlokas again in our mishnah when discussing our mishnah? So the Gemara Tzricha, they need to have the machlokas again for the following reason. Had they only had the machlokas in the case of a neder of Tashmish Hamita, I would say, yeah, that's where Rav says get divorced right away, because there's no way to supply her with that in the interim. You can't appoint a third party to do Tashmish Hamita for her. But since over here you have a simple solution of putting a third party in charge of supporting her, so maybe even Rav would be moda to wait and see, and maybe he'll find the Pesach for the neder. And if we would only be told the machlokes Rav and Shmuel in our case, maybe Shmuel is only paid patient in our case, because you could always put a parnis in charge of supporting her. But maybe in the case of Tashma Shamita, even Shmuel would be moded a rav that we don't exhibit any patience. You get divorced right away because there's no way you could provide for her in the interim. Tzricha, that's why we need both machlokas. So it's really just one tzrichusa. The tzrichusa is that there's a difference between the situation where you could be mamid parnis and where you can't be mamid parnis. Tosus has another girsa over here where we make a second tzrichusa. Tosus has a girsa inami b'hakam reshmuel dikat sarid de tarvayhu. Then when it comes to Tashma Shamita, they're both suffering. So maybe Shmuel is only going to say, wait and see, when maybe he's going to find a Pesach when they're both suffering, because it's a neder of Tashmish, and he's more motivated to find the Pesach. But when only she is suffering, maybe Shmuel will be moded a Rav, that just might as well end the marriage right now, because he's never going to find the Pesach anyway. So Tos says that this is the girsa that we should have, and even though we don't really need a second Shrichusa, because you can say, as long as you have one Shrichusa, you could say, Rav would only say it in that case, and Shmuel would only say it in that case, so it can already go in both directions. Whenever we have the opportunity, the ability to supply a second Shrichusa, we always try to. We always try to give another reason why the machlokas would appear in two cases. Rav Kivega points out that l'chora we could have a third tzrichusa. That if you say that, like those shittos and poskim, that dafka by a neder mitashmish, you could say that when the husband's mekayim the neder, that's a raya that he hates her, and not by other nedarim, because why would he be mekayim a neder of tashmish? Must be that there are significant problems in the relationship, but by other nedarim, it wouldn't necessarily indicate such significant problems. So then maybe you have a very pashtut tzrichusa, that if we would only be told the halacha over here, we would think that it's dafka by mizonos that Shmuel would say to wait, because you don't have the svar of misnasani, that he hates her, and that there's a significant problem in this marriage. But a muder mitashmish, maybe Shmuel be moded to Rav, that yotzi the altar, because he got issues over here. And if we were told about only by tashmish, we'd say it's dafka in that by stam yotzi according to Rav, and because it's shaykh the svar of misni sani. But by mizonos, where it's not shaykh misni sani, be moded to Shmuel. So Rabbi Kivi Eger suggests a second tzrichusa. Rabbi Kivi Eger suggests a third tzrichusa. So we need the machlokas to be told in both cases. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Madir Sisho Shlotito Mechon Mikola Peros, Yotzi Vitin Ksub. Guy takes neder, his wife should not be able to eat any type of fruit, any single type of fruit. He has to divorce him, Peri Ksuba. Bishlam L'Rav Kan B'Stam Kan B'Mfaris. Well, wait a second. How come we didn't give an amount of time? 1 month and 2 months? None of that. So according to Rav, it makes sense, because Rav had said that if a person does it Stam, it's Yotzi Lialter. If he's Mefaresh, then we give a certain amount of time. Now, whatever time he was mefarish, then we'll say that as long as he's mefarish up until 1 month, that's reasonable. If he's mefarish more than 1 month, that's unreasonable. So you could say very easily that by the case of the peros, we're talking about where he just did it stam, so he has to be megarish lialter. El Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, even if he does it stam, he's still supposed to give some time. So how come by the peros we don't give any time? When he took a nedra, she's not allowed to have a certain pre. How come by a skin and shenadra he v'kayim la ihu? So this opens up a new discussion. She's the one that took the neder, and he's the one that was mekayim the neder. Is that the same as the husband taking a neder against the wife? V'ksav Rabbi Meir, hu nasan etzba ben shineha. Rabbi Meir holds he is to blame for it. Because he was mekayim the neder, and that's why he divorces her right away. He has to divorce her right away. So says Rav, v'savra meir hu nasan etzba ben shineha. Does Rav Meir really hold that he's the one that's to blame for it when she took the neder? V'atani, we have a brisa, he'isha shenadra b'nazir, a woman decides she's going to become a nazir. V'shama, b'ayla v'lo hefer la, and the husband hears about it and is not made for the neder. Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he nasna etzba ben shineha. Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both say she's to blame for it. Lefichach imratza abal lahafer yafer. So if the husband is interested in being mefer, he has the right to be mefer. V'imamar yefshi bisha nadranis. But if he says that he doesn't want to be mefer because he's not interested in a wife who's going to run around taking the darim, teite shelo b'ksuba. They get divorced and he doesn't even have to pay her ksuba because it's her fault. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar omrim, hu nasan etzba ben shineha. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar disagree. They say it's his fault. Lefichach imratza abal lahafer yafer. He always has the option of being mefer. V'yamamar yefshi bisha nadranis yotzi v'yitem ksuba. But if he says he's not interested in an ish nadranis, so then he has to divorce her and he's going to have to pay Ksuba. So because it is his fault. So but bottom line is, Rav Meir said it's her fault. So how can we say Rav Meir holds Hu Nasan Ksuba Ben Shina? Eifach, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda Omrim Hu Nasan, Rav Yasi, Rav Elazar Omrim Hi Nasna. We have to switch around the shitos and switch around who said what, and have it that Rav Meir is the one that says Hu Nasan, so that we could keep Rav Meir consistent. Says the Gemara, you keep Rav Meir consistent, but now you're causing problems for Rav Yosi. V'sav Rav Yosi Hi Nasna. Does Rav Yosi really hold that it's her fault when she takes the neder and Lazman's mekayim the neder? V'atnan Rav Yosi Omer. Rabbi Yossi said in our Mishnah, when you take a neder against Tachshitin, that what point would he have to divorce her because he's making her life unlivable? Well, if she's poor, then if he didn't give a set time, so it's forever, he was not Nosin Kitzva, then he'd have to divorce her. And he'd have to be Yotzi V'itin Ksuba. So it sounds like he's going to have to pay the Ksuba. But we already said that the cases in our Mishnah are where she's the one that took the neder, and he was Mekayim the neder. So apparently, if she's the one that took the neder, he's Mekayim the neder, we're blaming him. He has to pay the ksuba in that case. Apparently, he is to blame. So how can we suggest that Rabbi Yossi says that he nasna etzba ben shina, she is to blame when she took the neder, if in our Mishnah we apparently blame him when she takes the neder? Say, Ema, what we have to do is not just switch around the shitos, but jumble up who holds what. Ema, Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, switch around who partners with who. It's not Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda on one side, and Reb Yossi and Reb Elazar on the other side. No, it's Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, Omer, who knows, saying. Reb Meir and Reb Yossi apparently both hold that we blame him. Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar, Omer, Omrim, he nasna. And Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar say, we blame her. But still no good, because Rabbi Yehuda is not going to work out. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda hi nasna? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold we blame the girl? V'atnan, we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Yisrael Yom Echad Yikayim. In our Mishnah we said that Rabbi Yehuda says, by Yisrael, if it takes a neder shalotitom, not to eat any fruits. And again, our Mishnah was talking about cases where she took the neder, and he was Mekayim the neder. And we said, Yom Echad Yikayim, you can keep her for one day, but more than that, Yotzi, V'yite Ksuba, he's going to have to pay the ksuba. So you see, we're blaming the husband. And Gemara, Ema, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Omrim Huno, saying, Rav Elazar, Omer, he nasna. What we have to do is we have to put three Tanayim on one side of the dispute, because now we've successfully proven that all three of these Tanayim blame the husband. So we have to put all of them, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, as blaming the husband, as saying who nasna nasma ben shina, and Rav Elazar is on the other side of the dispute. He holds he nasna. V'imtim tzalomer zugi zugi ktani. And if you want to insist that it's got to be two against two, that you can't have a three against one machlokas, then Ema Rav Meir Rav Elazar Omer Hi Nasna. So have Rav Meir Rav Elazar blame her. So we could have that both Rav Meir and Rav Elazar blame her, and Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Omer Hu Nosein. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda both say that Hu Nosein Esbemenshina. Aye, but we already said Rav Meir can't blame her. Rav Meir already says in the Stam Mishnah that we blame him. So Vahastama Delok Rabbi Meir. Not every Stam Mishnah is like Rav Meir. Most Stam Mishnahs are like Rav Meir. So you can't. So maybe that Stam that wants to blame him is going against Rav Meir, because Rav Meir really holds he nasna. Why would you insist that it's got to be a two against two? Why would be? So apparently we're assuming that it's possible that we made mistakes in the transmission of the Mishnah when the mistakes were minor, but to make a whole mistake in the structure of the Mishnah, that's too big of a mistake to accept that such a mistake occurred in the way that the Mishnah was transmitted. So that's why we say that if you want to insist that it's got to be two against two, and you would want to insist that because it seems unlikely that we would have gotten confused and shifted one of the Tanayim over to the other side of the Machlokas, so that's then we have to put Rav Meir back on the other side. So it says more of the summer of Yossi, by news shalonos and kitzva, alma bal matzi mefer. Does Rabbi Yossi hold that by the neder of tachshitin, that if he takes it indefinitely, such a neder against his wife when they're poor, that the husband has the ability to be mefer such a neder? Or a minu, I'll ask you stira. Meaning, apparently, the husband has the ability to be mefer neder of tachshitin. That tachshitin is within the realm of the types of nedarim that a husband is allowed to be mefer. But or a minu, I'll ask you a stira. Elu dvarim shabal mefer. Dvarim sheish ben inui nefesh. The only kinds of nedarim a husband could be mefer are things that relate to inui nefesh, things that really cause her to suffer a little bit. Im erchatz, im lo erchatz, if about bathing, im eskashet, im lo eskashet, if she's going to have different products that are a kishut for her. So Amrav Yossi, but Rav Yossi says, Ein elu nidrei inu nefesh. These are not considered nidrei elu nefesh. Kishutim is not, takshitim is not an issue of inu nefesh. Ve'elu nidrei inu nefesh. You want to know what nidrei inu nefesh are? Shloach al-basar, v'shloach te'yayin, v'shloach skashi b'gdei tzavonin, not to eat meat, not to drink wine, not to wear certain types of clothing, but stam kishutim is not inu nefesh, according to Rav Yossi. So how come Rav Yossi says in our Mishnah that he has the ability to be made for even a neder about kishutim? Now there are two different types of kishut. There's kishut in the upper parts of her body, and then there's kishut of hair removal in the lower parts of her body. So that kind of thing, we assume, is something that causes inui nefesh, something that will cause the husband to suffer a little bit, and therefore he has the ability to be made for such a neder. That works if you assume that anything that relates to private matters, the husband has the ability to be mefer. But if you hold that a husband cannot be mefer for things that relate to private matters, so then it doesn't help to say that the type of kishut we're talking about is a kishut lamata that involves hair removal. When it comes to dvarm shebeino levena, it's machlok. Yes, Rav Huna says the husband does have the right to be mefer. Rav Adi Barava says he does not have the right to be mefer. Shalom atzinu shuel shemes ba'afar pir. It's a mashal the Gemara gives that the reason he wouldn't have the right to be mefer is that it doesn't really affect him whether she does hair removal in her private area or not, because we never find a fox that dies in his own in the dirt that he grew up in. Meaning, if a person is used to that, so then it's not something that's ever going to damage him. So even though it's a very private matter, dvarim shebeino levena, it's not something that involves any sort of inui nefesh for him, because since he's accustomed to that, it's not going to cause him any sort of damage. So, but bottom line is, we have a question over here. If you assume that dvarim shebeino levena, the husband cannot be mefer, how do we deal with this kishut problem? We have on the one hand Rabbi Yossi saying that the husband can be mefer nidarim of kishutim, and on the other hand Rabbi Yossi saying that no, that's not called inui nefesh, so the husband cannot be mefer such nedarim. Elahacha b'mayaskinan kigon detalinu l'kishutea b'tashmash hamita. There are two ways to take nedarim. You could take a nedar that you can't get enough from this item, period, and that's it. Or you could say you shouldn't get enough from this item, and if you do, then another item is going to become aser. So you make a talui on something else. So a neder stam against kishutim, that's not inui nefesh. If she doesn't have her kishutim, it still doesn't cause him any sort of inui nefesh. But if he says, and if you use these kishutim, then tashmish hamita is going to become aser. So that becomes a neder of inui nefesh. The amra, she says, ye aser anas tashmishcha alai imis kashet. She says, I'm going to take a neder anah, that I'm not going to get any anah from tashmish with you if I have kishutim. So kedam Rav Kana, dam Rav Kana, hadnas tashmishi alecha kofo mishamashto. Like Rav Kana says, if a person says that the hanah of my tashmish will be on you, so then she took such a neder, so then we force her. She has to have tashmish. We ignore the neder. The neder is invalid because she's meshubud to have tashmish with him. She can't. She's not entitled to take such a neder. But if she phrases it differently, hanas tashmishcha. A lie, that I'm not making anything else on you, the woman says. I'm making only us on me. The anah of your tashmish is going to be us on me. So that's within her realm, it's within her jurisdiction. So yafer. So then we have to be made for the neder, because we can't give something that's usher to someone to somebody. And since the anah tashmish is usher to her, you can't do tashmish with her unless you're made for the neder. But we see the neder was at least chal. So you see that such a neder can have room to be chal. Now when she phrased it the other way, that he has an isra anah in her tashmish. So we said kofe umishamashto. Rav Chaim just points out in Kovit Shurim that the lashon of kofe is really lavdafka, because the Gemara says in a couple of places and that in the Erev and Daf Kuf and in the Darim Daf Chaf that it's aser for a person to be kofe his wife in tashmish amita. It doesn't mean that the man should force his wife to have tashmish amita. Bnei Anusa is Bnei Teisha Midos. In Mesach Nedarim, we have a whole list of how to ensure that your kids turn out bad. And one of them is Bnei Anusa, that if the relationship is such where the husband is Ma'anis, his wife, so that's not a good thing. So what the Rav Chanan says, what it means is the woman wants to have tashmish now. The woman's interested in having tashmish now. She's just worried about the neder. So I took a neder that he's not allowed to get hanas tashmish. So that's what we mean kofa. We say, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about that neder. If the neder is what's holding you back, so you could ignore the neder. That's what the lashon kofa means. That the only reason she's hesitant is because of the neder. So we're kofa against the neder, but she is interested in having the tashmish. But bottom line is that's how we can have a case of kishut where it does involve inui nefesh. So it says, how does that involve inui nefesh? Velotesh kashet velote aser. Let her not have kishutim, and then the neder of tashmish will never kick in. Say imkein karula manuvelas. But that's not really such an option for her, because everyone's going to call her a manuvelas if she doesn't have her kishutim. Vitis kashet vite aser. Ilu beishamish te shabbos ilu beisil shabbos achas. Fine, but still, even if you're going to aser the tashmish, we had a mishnah about asering tashmish and how long they could stay married with a neder that has an Isser Tashmish. According to Beis Shammai, they can stay married for 2 weeks. According to Beis Hillel, they can stay married for 1 week. Why would we assume that right away the husband divorces her? In this case, just give it the 2 weeks or the 1 week. It says, where hani mili echa da adra ihu de savra mirtach ratach ilavai vahashtra mosav daite. That's only if he's the one that took the neder, where she's going to think, you know what, our marriage is still salvageable, it's just that he's in a bad mood today and he got angry, so he said something he doesn't mean, and he'll calm down eventually and everything will be fine. So then you could let it wait a week or 2 weeks and see what happens. Aval hacha de nadra ihi, but over here, she's the one that took the neder against the tash. Vishasikla, and he didn't say anything. He didn't argue about it. So she's thinking, if he was quiet about that, he must really hate me. Then there must be a real problem over here, because he wasn't even angry. If he didn't even say this out of anger. If he would have said it out of anger, he would have said something. But he didn't even say anything. I'm the one that took the neder, and he was just okay with it. What's worse than being angry is if he doesn't even care. That's the yisod from this gemara. If he's angry, okay, so one day he won't be angry anymore. But if he's just checked out, he just doesn't care at all, then you got a problem. So Rabbi Yossi Amar Ba'aniyu Shalonos in Kitzva. Rabbi Yossi says that with a poor woman, when the takes the neder of Tachshitin, so if there's no Kitzva, he doesn't give any limit on it whatsoever, so then it's making her life unlivable, then we force him to divorce her. But what does it mean, Lonos in Kitzva? The Kama Kitzva, meaning what is the limit? We know by an Ashira it's 30 days, let's say, and by an Aniyah it's a lot longer, but what is the limit? There's got to be some limit. That's what the Achronim point out. There has to be some limit, otherwise you could say 100 years, 1,000 years, and that's ridiculous, because that's the same as saying forever. How could you be mechalik between saying 100 years and saying forever? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Yud Beis Chodesh. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says 12 months. Rav Bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan Eser Shanim. No, 10 years. Rav Chisda Amar Ravimi Regel. That it's just one regel. Shekin Benos Yisrael Miskashos Beregel. Because that's when the Jewish girls like to get dressed up, is around regel time. Uba Ashiros Lam. And for Ashiros, it's 30 days. Maishna Lamed Yom, where do we get 30 days from? Amar Avai, Shekein Yishu Chashuv, and then it's Mirach Yishuta Lamed Yom. The smell of her perfumes will still benefit her for 30 days. New Mishnah, Madir Sishol Shoteil Chubes Aviyah. Guy takes another, his wife should not be able to go to her father's house. Bizman Shuim Abiyir, if they live in the same city, then Chodesh Achad Yikayim, they could stay married with such another intact for 1 month. But Shnayim, Yotzi V'itin Ksuba. By 2 months, they already have to get divorced and give the Ksuba. It's unlivable. Ubizman Shu Biyar Acheres, but if they don't live in the same city anyway, then Regel Echad Yikayim. For one Yontif, you keep it that way. Shlosha Yotzi V'itin Ksuba. By the time you had three Yom Tov, three Regalim, you have to divorce and give the Ksuba. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask, and what about two? It doesn't, it seems to have opposite implications. Hamadir Shishra Shlotei Lech Lebeis Ha'avel Lebeis HaMishta. A guy takes another, his wife should not be able to go to a base avel or to a base mishta, to a wedding or to a base avel. Yotzi vitin ksuba nishanol b'fana. He divorces and gives the ksuba right away because he's null b'fnei, he's making her life unlivable. The Rishonim point out that we don't give any month or whatever, because over here it's never going to end. The fact that she can't go to a Beis Avel, even if she just misses one Beis Avel, that's going to have implications in her life forever, because that Avel is always going to be insulted, is never going to reciprocate. That wedding that she missed of her friend, it's going to have implications for a long time. So that's why it's right away. But if he has a reason because of davar acher, then he's allowed to take such a neder. The Gemara will explain what that davar acher is. If he says, I want you to reveal secrets that you told me, or that I told you, or I want you to do ridiculous things. The Gemara is going to explain what it is, but it could be very literally. I want you to fill up buckets of water and just pour it out in the garbage all day. I want you to work hard all day doing nothing, like the Jews in Mitzrayim, building the pyramid, let him sink right into the ground. Yotzi v'itim ksuba. So then Yotzi v'itim ksuba, he's going to have to divorce her and give her a ksuba. In the tshuva's Torah l'shma, he has a tshuva. The husband asks his wife to do absurd things, to act like a child, to bark like a dog, to do things like that. So is the chiyuv kavod that a wife has for her husband, the tshuva's Torah l'shma asks, does it require her to do it? So he says, no, it's enough in the Mishnah. He can't ask her to do ridiculous things. He has to be reasonable. If he asks her to do ridiculous things, it's not covered. And he says the same would be true about a parent and a child. That it's not the same chiyuv kavod, but it's also didn't cover. Cover doesn't mean that you can make another person look like a fool. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, we'll start with the Gemara tomorrow.